Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. In today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Pardon me?
How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Good. I'm great.
Yeah,
I'm
me
great.
Too, actually.
I've been running around all day, and it's great.
Having fun?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking, as I was preparing, you know, for the show, I was thinking that for the last 2 days, I have been in meetings from early morning until late at night.
Wow.
And I know that a lot of people don't find that fun or exciting.
Uh-huh.
And it has been so much fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I'm lucky in that I get to have these meetings with some of the most amazing people on the planet. And since the meetings are for Living Compassion, I'm kind of passionate about the work that we're doing. And the combination makes for a very good life.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. And if people wanted to find out more about Living Compassion, they should go to our website.
They could. Yes. And if they want to find out even more, they could ask us
absolutely.
On the radio.
Absolutely. And we have a new phone number, so let me give that out. Toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 877-514-7300. And if you're calling from England, like Anna did last week, that's +1-858-277-1444. Great.
And what is ours again, Michael, if we're living in the United States of America?
877-514-7300.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that good? And is that true for Canada as well?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
U.S. and Canada.
Right.
Well, great, huh? Hey, I have a couple of announcements here.
Lovely.
There is a wonderful opportunity to sponsor Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Aha! Uh-huh. What would one have to do to accomplish that?
Well, it's pretty simple. You can send an email to openair@livingcompassion.org, and I'll give a little background about what's possible. Starting as low as $50 a month with a $50 setup fee, your business or organization can have a graphic and a link on the Open Air show page on World Talk Radio, and also a 30-second audio ad that plays during the show and also in the archives.
So what you're saying is we could listen to an ad from someone who is listening to this show while this show is playing.
That'd be great.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That would be so fun.
And you can connect with like-minded people around the country and around the world.
Yeah.
And support Open Air.
That's very
and
good.
Let people know about your organization or business.
I love it.
It's great.
If I didn't get to let people know about my organization business every week, I would want to do that.
Yes.
But there's not much more I can tell you.
It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, it is.
Sherry, can you tell us a little bit about Kripalu and your workshop on depression there?
Yes. And again, people need not be put off if you think depression is not an issue. Everybody goes through periods of depression, as far as I can tell, certainly everyone knows someone who goes through periods of depression. So it's just an opportunity for us to explore how depression, like everything else in life, is an opportunity for us to grow spiritually, to grow in awareness.
Uh-huh. So even if we don't identify with depression as something that I, for example, deal with, there's a lot to see there, and we all go through periods of depression.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, of course, you know, the work really is about any strong emotion. It's actually about any emotion that we're particularly identified with. But since we are one of the top nations in the world in terms of depression, I think it's a good one for us to take a little look-see at.
Yes, yes, great. And there's more information on Sherry's website, which is sherryhuber.com. And that's at the end of near the end of May, May 20th to May 22nd. A weekend, and that's in Massachusetts.
Lenox, Massachusetts. And let me tell you, it's a lovely place, and that's a gorgeous time to be there.
So no more frozen tundra there.
No more.
Yes.
No, just incredible beauty as far as the eye can see.
Great. And the other thing I wanted to let people know is about a special concert that we're going to have near the end of June.
That is correct. Trish and Richard are coming out to join us. I've talked in the past any number of times, I think, about the Splash, their Splash album that I am so crazy about. And they're coming out here to perform Saturday afternoon, 3 to 5 p.m. at the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment in San Jose. And everybody is invited to join us there.
Yes, that'd be great. That's in San Jose. And if you could RSVP ahead of time, that would be great. Please send an email to information@livingcompassion.org so we can be sure to have a seat there for you.
That's right. Save you a seat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sherry, a couple more things on your calendar. You're going to be doing a workshop here in the Bay Area on May 14th. On what's getting in your way.
What's getting in your way? Isn't that good?
Yeah, it's them.
Yeah, it's them. That's right. It's those people. It's out there. It's my job. It's my parents. That's what's getting in my way. That's right. But we might come to a slightly different conclusion on that day.
Great. Great. And again, you can find out more about that at sherryhuber.com about how to sign up and how to join us for that day.
Yeah.
Great.
Sounds fun.
Later in May, be on the East Coast in Pennsylvania with talks in Philadelphia, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, just doing the big Pennsylvania swing.
That's right. One of my favorite things, go to Massachusetts and Pennsylvania in the spring. Or go anywhere in the spring, let's face it. But those are lovely places to be in the springtime.
Great. Great. If you'd like to join our conversation today, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number is toll-free, 877-514-7300, and the phone lines are open here. Sherry,
call in and tell us about their schedule.
Yes.
You know, all we ever talk about is my schedule.
Yeah, call in, tell us about your schedule, and tell us what's going on in your life.
That's right.
Great.
In the meantime, I think we have some emails.
Some is an understatement. We have a lot of email questions here.
Good.
Sherry, I am so happy that you folks have this show because questions always arise for me, and it is wonderful to be able to consult you. I am reading There Is Nothing Wrong With You, and I am finding myself developing hate for the voices of self-hate and conditioning. This hate does not feel helpful. Can I instead cultivate compassion toward conditioning and self-hate? From a listener.
Yeah. Well, certainly we can. That is certainly a possibility. And I remain in the club that says conditioning and self-hatred are best loved from afar. So when we first get in touch with self-hatred and see how kind of vicious and hateful it is, it's easy. We often have that reaction of anger and frustration and that sort of thing. And I think the writer has already caught on that that's just self-hatred taking another position. Okay, so, you know, self-hatred beats me up, and then when I catch on to it, it pretends to be beating itself up. Then the next stage of that is then it beats me up for still having self-hatred, even though I've seen what self-hatred is.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so, I mean, it just keeps changing outfits and jumping around and coming at us from a different angle. You know, it hates other people because they're in my way.
Uh-huh.
Or then it hates me for getting upset that other people are having an effect. You know, just on and on and on and on. And then, of course, the reasonable conclusion is, well, then how about if we just embrace it in compassion? I find a more effective way to deal with it is simply to ignore it.
Uh-huh.
Just notice that it's there and give it no energy at all. So, you know, if somebody were to verbally attack me, somebody comes at me and they're verbally attacking me, yelling back at them might produce results that I really don't want.
Uh-huh.
Trying to go up and hug them might accomplish the same thing. But simply attending to them and not reacting, not responding, will often, you know, there's the expression, take the wind out of somebody's sails.
Uh-huh.
And so it can often diffuse a situation, just simply not responding. And that's what we're going for with conditioning, with self-hatred. Any way we engage with it is giving it the attention that it needs to continue to survive. Ignoring it withholds the attention that it needs, and it will not be able to continue to survive.
Uh-huh.
It only has the energy we give it.
Uh-huh. So when we're not attending to it, we're not giving it any of the energy that supports it.
That's right. And, of course, what we learn to do in awareness practice is take our attention away from that habitual relationship with conditioned mind or with self-hatred and bring it back to the present. So I could turn my attention away from that hateful conversation and bring it back to my breath, bring it back to where I am. I can use my attention to look around at nature or to hear what I'm listening to here in the moment, not the hateful voices inside my head, but what's going on right here.
Uh-huh.
I can come back and be in my body, present in this moment, rather than lost in that endless conversation with self-hatred.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That seems much more pleasant.
Yes, much more pleasant. Easier. It's very easy, actually. In the beginning, it doesn't seem easy, but with a little bit of practice, we realize it's much easier to redirect the attention back to where I want to be than to try to change the relationship with self-hatred.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Great. Thank you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
We have a caller on the line.
We're just getting right on through those emails.
Yes. I'd like to welcome Lorraine. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Well, hi, Michael and Sherry. This is Lorraine.
Hi.
Sherry, I think you know that I'm one of your recent more ardent followers, and I saw you last in Denver.
Yes.
And I don't know if you got caught by the snowstorm, but I didn't get back until 2 o'clock on Tuesday.
Yes, I was going in another direction, but basically on the same itinerary.
It was quite an adventure.
Quite an adventure.
So, Sherry, I touched on a question then, and I wanted to follow up with you. I have decided to do the precepts because I believe this practice has just meant more for me than I think anything else in my life. It's been wonderful, and I consider you to be my main and primary and first and forever teacher here. And the practice that I have had the very good fortune of two wonderful places in Milwaukee, among several. One is a Soto place, and another one is the Korean practice of the Quantum School. And I love the sitting practice of the Soto practice that I have here, and I'm going to be starting the precepts practice there. And I don't know how it went for you, but one of the things that I'm looking forward to is sewing the rakusu.
Uh-huh.
Did you do that when you did your practice, precepts?
You know, here's the thing about this. I'm not sure how relevant this is for
yes.
most folks.
Yes.
And me talking about my practice
yes.
is almost never helpful to anybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
So if there's a more general question,
yes. I have a general question. I mean, this is my problem. I already understand that the wonderful priest there, a wonderful woman in her 70s, has great attachment to mind. And it's already clear to me that on a practical level, that her understanding of this practice is fairly different from mine. And yet I know that we're sitting the same way, and I do really enjoy the practice very much, but I don't enjoy the Dharma, if you will.
And,
okay. If you catch my drift. So my concern is I want to do the precepts, and I wish I were in California, but I'm not. And I have ordered your book, and your book about called Good Life is hands down better than the book that we'll be traveling through. And I guess I'm wondering, can you give me some clues about how to best do the precepts practice, or should I just chuck it and wait until I can come out to California and do them with you?
Well, you know, the thing about awareness practice to me that's often most interesting is looking at what we like and don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably, I don't know this, this is kind of stepping out there, but I bet you the Buddha would encourage us not to get too caught up in the form.
Yes.
Because making Buddhism into a form is something that he was actually quite opposed to.
Yes.
Now, he had an easier time, you see, because people couldn't write this stuff down.
Yes, exactly.
And in a way, it was a harder time because then he would tell people these things, and it was up to them to memorize them.
Yes.
Now, I'm fond of pointing out that I can say something in group one evening and have somebody refer to it the next day, and I don't even recognize what they're talking about. Okay?
Yes.
That kind of is a little snapshot of our ability actually to hear what somebody is saying.
Yes.
So somebody says something, I bring that in through my filters. Well, that's a process of translation. So by the time it comes into my little conditioned mind, I have already reframed that into something that my conditioned mind can relate to.
Yes.
Then my conditioned mind is going to start noodling that around to figure out what that means to me. And then I'm going to put it back out the way I have understood it, and usually it really doesn't have anything to do with what the person originally said.
Yes.
So, who can say? Now, 2,500 years later, we have people interpreting 2,500 years of people interpreting.
Yes.
What the Buddha taught.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's fertile ground for people to get very attached.
For cutting through.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what I've learned from you just by paring it away is head and shoulders. I love reading the other stuff for historical purposes because I'm a heady person, because that's the way I am. But if I want to learn this practice, and as I experience it, it is straight ahead. I mean, it's just do it, you know?
And it's not think about it.
Yeah.
We have a daily recollection that we say in our practice.
Yes, and we say that here sometimes.
Yeah, and the reason that we say it is just because it reminds us of the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not designed to be something we cling to.
Yes.
If we take something like what we think the Buddha taught, and we turn it into another set of shoulds.
Yes.
Then we've just really taken our childhood social conditioning and we have made it more sophisticated and foreign by making it Buddhist. You with me?
Yes.
Yeah, so now the Buddha is Dad and maybe Kuan Yin is Mom. And I'm going to be in relationship to the rules of how I should be that are now laid down by Buddhism instead of my original mother and father. And in my world, it's just simply not helpful. So looking at your resistance, looking at the, you know, the wanting to know which is the right way, which is the best way, which should it, you know, that's classic. That doesn't really have anything to do with Buddhism.
Yes.
Yeah, those kinds of questions are there all the time. Can we get to a place of well-being with it as it is? Rather than, I will be all right if I get this question answered. No, I will be all right when I realize this question has no power over me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I have to say is that the sound is really weird. I've turned off my computer streaming, so I'm not sure what's going on with the sound, but I'm mainly catching what you're saying, although it's distorted a bit.
Uh-huh. Well, hopefully it'll be there in the archives.
Yes.
In case
and when I listen to it again. Oh,
my. Any critical points.
So my question is, my purpose for doing it here is that this is where I am, and also, you know, this business of sewing the rakusu, I really love the idea of the mindfulness of it. And actually, my mother was a wonderful seamstress and needle worker, and I kind of feel a connection there. Now, and it's not a fake thing. I mean, I would feel proud to make it, and yet...
Well, here's the thing for me, and to me, that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful motivation.
Okay.
But you can apply that kind of mindfulness to every moment of your life.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. So again, if we take certain things and we start believing that these are special, we've lost.
They're not. No, I get that.
Yeah, we've lost the spirit of Zen.
Yes. No, I get that. My question is, should I wander in here? I mean, I get it, and I don't want to risk it, and I'm not ready to teach it, and... I mean, I'm conflicted for the first time in my life about this spiritual, about should I go forward with this spiritual path I'd be working
with. And you know what we call this in Zen?
I think you're pardon?
Koan. You have now entered koan practice.
Yes.
Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this?
Yes.
You know the old story? The master holds the cat up and says, if you say yes, I'll cut the cat in two. If you say no, I'll cut the cat in two.
Yeah.
There you are.
There I am. Okay.
All right. Let us know where you get.
I shall.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lauren. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we're at the end of our first segment. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back with you in a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio.
How much time each day do you spend managing your personal or business calendar? 15 minutes, a half an hour, maybe more. Is the conference room available for next week's meeting? And how many people do you have to ask to find out? Have you ever misplaced or, worse yet, lost your day planner or handheld device? And what do you do about that missing information? Do you own or operate a salon or carpet cleaning business? How about a realty office or any one of a thousand other service-based organizations? Can your customers make their appointments even when your office is closed? If any of this sounds familiar, then Schedule Online is the solution for you. For more information, call toll-free 888-668-3355. That's 888-668-3355. Or visit us online at www.scheduleonline.com.
If you want to live a healthier lifestyle naturally, visit wellnow.ca, an all-Canadian quality resource. We provide the information and knowledge you need to make your best choices. Wellnow.ca gives you access to natural products and solutions, lifestyle services, and licensed health practitioners. Our free monthly newsletter delivers healthy living tips, articles, and expert opinions. Become empowered. Go to wellnow.ca today. If you want to live a healthier lifestyle naturally, visit wellnow.ca, an all-Canadian quality resource. We provide the information and knowledge you need to make your best choices. Wellnow.ca gives you access to natural products and solutions, lifestyle services, and licensed health practitioners. Our free monthly newsletter delivers healthy living tips, articles, and expert opinions. Become empowered. Go to wellnow.ca today.
Listen, the world is talking. World Talk Radio.
Interested in advertising on any of our shows? Please click the advertise link on the homepage or send an email to ads@worldtalkradio.com. Or you can click on the sponsor this show link on any of the show pages.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. If you'd like to join our conversation today, you can reach us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 877-514-7300. Sherry, I have some more email questions here.
All right.
I love your show and find it very helpful, so I thought I would write and share my experiences and perhaps spark a conversation that will help others, too. Several years ago, I quit my stressful high-tech job, sold the house, and moved to a new city to pursue a more human life. I'm in the process of trying to come up with a new career. My conditioned mind tells me that I am not cautious enough and that I should take no risks, save all my money, and not leave the house so often. It points to anything bad that happens as examples of why I am not a competent manager of my own life, and makes the argument that I should place all future decisions in its hands.
Good idea.
It seems to me at a gut level that life without any risks isn't really life at all, but is more like running from life. What are your thoughts on this?
Well,
I'm a listener in Sacramento.
Pardon me? What was the last part?
From a listener in Sacramento.
All right. Well, that's great. That's perfect, isn't it? Oh, dear. Well, of course, you know, I'm just definitely in agreement with the writer. I just don't think turning a life over to conditioned mind is a good idea at all. It's so funny to me. Usually when I'm at the monastery, I just start yelling about this in group, and you know, people kind of look at me like, calm yourself. It probably looks like I'm getting ready to burst something, you know. We just lose sight of the fact that life is so short.
Uh-huh.
It is so short. It's such a miracle that we have it. What are we holding back for? What are we saving ourselves for? Do we really think that we're going to get to the end of life and then we're just, somebody's going to say, oh, you know, you were so intelligent, so prudent, so cautious, so, I know you didn't get to do anything you wanted to do, but, you know, you made a lot of really conservative decisions. You know, you died with a lot of money in the bank. So now, go back there and live the life you want to live.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just nuts. Why, you would think, when we get how short life is, that we would be out there looking for risks. You know, why wouldn't you want to do everything on this planet that you've ever thought about doing?
Uh-huh.
Now's the time. I'm alive. Yeah, so I'm with the writer.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the new career, don't hire conditioned mind.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, don't hire it as an employee, let alone as a boss.
So now's the day, and today's the chance to do it.
Pardon me?
Today is the day, and now is our opportunity, whatever we want to do.
Precisely. Make this moment everything you want life to be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This is it. This is it.
Yes. Yes.
You know that old saw about it's not a dress rehearsal? Well, yes. That's exactly right. You know, I'm a Buddhist. You know, I accept the notion of rebirth and many lifetimes, but I'm not going to have them.
Uh-huh.
This is the only one for Sherry Huber.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm here. I want to participate. I want to play. I want to play hard. You know, at the beginning of the show, I said, you know, I've been in meetings for two solid days, and I'm just as high as a kite. And it's because that's what we're doing. We're playing hard. So when I get to the end of my life, somebody actually said this or sent it to me, I don't know, but it was, you know, the thing on your gravestone is, well done, played hard.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I want on mine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well done, played hard.
Well done, played hard. You know, I did it all. Gave it everything. Had as much fun as a human being can have.
Uh-huh.
Took a ton of risks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Great. Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah.
Sherry, we have caller.
Good.
I'd like to welcome Kate from Kansas City. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. I'm getting that same distortion that the other caller was talking about, but I'm going to try to hear you.
Well, I'm really dreadfully sorry about that. I don't know what's going on. Hopefully we can rectify it.
That's okay. I can hear you well enough. I have been looking at how I'm causing myself to suffer. And the question that, it's funny, there's, I don't know if the word is decision, but there, how would you say it? The question that keeps coming up is how can I tell if something that I want is coming from my heart?
Well, who would want to know that? See, the only thing that we can be certain of is the one who wants to know that isn't.
So what would be, I guess it's probably conditioning who asks this question then, but what would be the other experience?
Well, do you ever spend time around little children?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when little children go at something, they don't tend to say, now, is this coming from my heart? Is this a centered choice?
Hmm.
Okay. Or, you know, if you don't have that much time around little children, try a puppy. You know, watch how they approach life. There's no second guessing. There's no wondering. There's no fear. Right? I mean, they just go.
And that's it. It's the fear place of how do I know?
That's right. What if I make a mistake? What if this is? Here's the best news of all. This is the best news I can give you. If it's a mistake, life will let you know. But hanging back and pussyfooting around and being afraid and living in conditioned mind and dreading self-hatred and doing what conditioned mind says in order to avoid self-hatred, you know, that's as bad as it gets. That's the biggest mistake a human being can make.
Hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome.
Bye.
See you later.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. If you'd like to join our conversation today, give us a call toll-free. The number is 877-514-7300. Sherry, I have another email question here.
Good.
Dear Sherry, I am writing to you about a situation concerning my roommate. She is miserable 5 days a week while she is at school, longing for the moment she can drive to her boyfriend's for the weekend. My Zen practice is enormously important to me and has helped me hugely in the past, and so I have tried to share Zen with her, but we both just get frustrated. I sense that I am projecting a whole dinosaur's worth of stuff onto her situation. When she is depressed and I can't cheer her up, I take it upon myself to feel lousy too.
that's a great situation. Huh?
I say things like, "You have to love yourself." And she says, "Well, how do I do that? And what would be the point?" And I find myself speechless. I wonder if you could please shed some light onto the situation.
Well,
I know I am doing something, quote, wrong or egocentric, and despite my best intentions, we get into the same rut over and over again.
Yeah.
Thanks, gratefully.
Well, you know, it's just always going to be that way. Because here's the simple little trick of that situation. If the writer were doing what the writer wants the roommate to do.
Uh-huh.
But it's like I start yelling at you that you've got to stop being angry. Now, rightfully, you would look at me and say, "What are you talking about?" And you would ask me that because it would be the first step to both of us realizing, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
I just have some kind of a good idea about how things should be.
Yes.
And I'm going to suffer over that good idea, but because it's kind of a spiritual good idea, then it seems like it's the right idea.
Yes, yes. Something about it being spiritual blinds us to what's going on.
Yeah. Talking about it being spiritual doesn't make it spiritual. So if we want somebody to experience the joy of practice, we have to practice joyfully.
Yes.
We have to find joy in our practice.
Uh-huh.
So if you're depressed and our dance is that you get depressed so that I try to cheer you up. Now, this person needs to come to my workshop at Kripalu, right?
There you go.
Not the one who with the boyfriend, but the writer.
Yes.
So, you know, you get depressed, and then I get depressed because you're depressed and I can't make you undepressed.
Uh-huh.
And that's the dance we're dancing.
Uh-huh.
One of us has got to stop. Well, which one of us is the most likely candidate to stop?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the one who's interfering with somebody else's life because they have a better idea about how that person should be living.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So if we each focused on what's going on with ourselves, that could be really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely so. So in that case, it's good practice for me, right? Because I'm stepping back and I'm looking at what is it about your depression that is so upsetting to me.
Uh-huh.
I can look at my projections, my beliefs and assumptions. I can watch all the aspects of my personality that get buy into this.
Uh-huh.
I can watch how I lose my own center, my own focus, my own ability to be present because I'm so caught up in what I'm being told is your life, which of course has nothing to do with you and is completely about me. So now, you know, I've got a little live-in workshop here.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Whether it's ever going to be helpful to you or not, it's hugely helpful to me if I'm doing my practice.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So we could step back, look at our own beliefs and assumptions that we're bringing to the situation, see what we're projecting onto the other person in the situation,
mm-hmm.
see how we're brought off center.
Yeah.
And pay attention to our own practice.
Exactly. You know, the Buddha said, you must work out your own salvation diligently.
Uh-huh.
As far as I know, he never said, you must work out your roommate's salvation diligently.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. That's great. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Sherry.
Yeah, I hope we hear. I hope our writer writes back and lets us know how all this develops.
Oh, yes. Yes. And any of the people who have called in before who were going to call back and check in with us. Now would be a great time. The phone number is 877-514-7300. The phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. Sherry, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back in a couple minutes and be ready for our final segment of today's show.
I'll be here.
Okay. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. If you'd like to join our conversation today, you can reach us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 877-514-7300, and the phone lines are open here. Also, if you'd like to email us in the meantime, and I know that many of you have, you can reach us at openair@livingcompassion.org. Again, that's openair@livingcompassion.org. Sherry, I have some more email questions here.
Now, Michael, yeah, it's good that we are answering these email questions because it doesn't look good when we just keep saying email us and then we never answer their emails.
Yes.
So I feel
they're
like
listening and waiting.
Yeah. So this is good for our integrity.
Oh, absolutely.
To actually answer them.
Hello, Sherry. I had an amazing spiritual experience a while back, my, quote, awakening. I was everything I ever wanted to be and didn't even do anything. It was gentle and down to earth, but the more grounded, the more expansive, powerful, and then magical it became. Not only did I feel connected to everyone and everything, I was everyone and everything. I was the dog, the grass, the trees, the stars, my father, etc. It lasted for about a week, but then I dropped from a 200-foot sequoia. I was and am humbled and afraid. My question is, now what? I feel trapped between two worlds. From a listener.
Okay. Well, the now what is to say thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You say thank you. With what in whatever that means to you, right?
Uh-huh.
Thank you. I was blessed to have an experience that almost nobody alive on this planet right now is going to have in this lifetime.
Uh huh.
Thank you.
Uh huh.
And then get on with it.
Uh huh. Thank you.
It's the argument against people having those kinds of experiences when they're not ready for them.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Because, I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the years. And, you know, it's not a vast number because this doesn't happen to a vast number of people. But almost everyone that I've talked to whom it has happened, they're talking to me because it's happened out of context.
Uh-huh.
It's not within a system that says this, 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 and this, and probably this, and maybe you'll experience this, and be prepared that you could experience this. And, by the way, none of those experiences mean anything.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So a person has an experience like that. It absolutely blows their world completely apart.
Uh-huh.
And then they're left in this place of, well, what now? I mean,
uh-huh.
What do I just go back to my job? Do I just, you know, continue to come home to the family every night? And the answer is yes.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Nothing has changed.
Uh-huh.
It's just that when our eyes open like that, we have an opportunity to see things as they are.
Uh-huh.
Now, what almost everybody does is what the writer is talking about. Okay, so I've had this huge, expansive experience, and now I'm back in my life, and my life, compared to that, is not very special.
Uh-huh.
Now, what I would say to that person, and I will, won't I, because I have the opportunity here, is that that is the difference between whole mind and conditioned mind.
Uh-huh.
So in conditioned mind, there is this feeling of, this is hard, I don't like this, why am I experiencing this instead of that, I want life to be different, okay? All of those kinds of things that probably everybody listening can fill in for themselves, the kind of things that you hear.
Yes.
We take a quick trip to whole mind, and everything is exactly the way it was before for us, only it's completely transformed.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's the way it is all the time without conditioned mind. Okay? So what we're looking at is not is simply how life works. That's
really true.
Now, what a person can do is say, you know, I am so intensely grateful for that experience that I'm going to do whatever it takes, to live my life as close as I can to that experience.
Uh-huh.
But what almost everybody does is turn that experience over to conditioned mind. So that conditioned mind can make it a place of bitterness and resentment, feeling victimized, and like life is not worth living.
Uh-huh.
So if a person says, whoa, that was amazing, I want to devote my life to that.
Uh-huh.
Life looks one way. If we turn that experience over to conditioned mind, life is going to look very different.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that's always true.
Uh-huh.
That's true right now for everyone who hasn't had an experience like that. Life looks one way when we're identified with egocentric karmic conditioning. It looks a completely different way from center. That's just true. Whatever a person happens to be experiencing at the moment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it has nothing really to do with what's going on. It has everything to do with how it's being experienced, or we could say who's experiencing it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. How it's being perceived.
Yeah. Where it's perceived from.
Uh-huh. Where it's perceived from.
Am I living at center? Then the world, exactly as it is, if we could ever, you know, pin that down and get an agreement about what it is, of course we can't. Because if you're looking at it from center, you're seeing the world as it is, and you're saying, wow, this is amazing. There is so much possibility here. There is so much opportunity here. We can participate in this way. We can do this. We can just sit here. We can breathe. We're home. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. This is paradise. It's the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm over here identified with egocentric karmic conditioning. This is what's wrong. That's what's wrong. And what about them? And what about that? And there's not enough of this, and that's not fair, and that's not right, and I don't like this, and I don't want that. Okay, we're talking about the same world.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It's just where it's perceived from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in one place, it's very expansive. There's a lot of possibility. There's not a sense of anything wrong with what's going on.
It's an absolute gift.
An absolute gift.
It's nothing but a blessing.
Uh-huh.
A human form in which to experience life.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Yes.
But when I'm identified with a little conditioned self who wants to be separate from life, who wants to be at the center of the universe, who wants to suffer, who wants to be miserable, who wants to live in not enough and something wrong, don't try to tell me this is a great place.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So is it the world? No. No. It's the perception, isn't it? Where I am when I am looking at what is.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So that's why my encouragement to that person is to say, you know, maybe get down on your knees if that's more if that's more impressive to you. Keep saying thank you until, like, you fall asleep.
Yes.
Okay? Because it's miraculous, and every moment of life is. And if we were paying attention at all, that's exactly what we would be doing, is living in nothing but thank you, which is not designed to make anybody feel bad or guilty if they're not. It's just, okay, I'm not feeling that. How do I get there?
Uh-huh.
And that's called practice.
Practice.
Yeah.
Practice. Great. And what a great way to end the show today.
Is it over? I was just getting started.
We are at the top of the hour here.
My goodness. Well,
it's been a great show. And it's been great to respond to some of these email questions we've
been receiving here. Yes, our credibility is on the rise. We really do answer them once in a while.
Great. I'd like to thank all of our listeners and all of our callers today and all of our emailers today also. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. If you'd like to contact us when we're not on the air, you can reach us by email at openair@livingcompassion.org. Thank you very much, Sherry.
Thanks, Michael.
Talk to you next week.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.